Michael Tucker was a few inches too short for many of the leading man roles he would have liked to play, but now he has a leading role each week as Stuart Markowitz on the TV series L.A. Law. He plays opposite the taller Jill Eikenberry, who is his wife on and off the show. Besides performing in the theater, Tucker has appeared in the films Diner and Radio Days. On a break last season from L.A. Law, Tucker shot the upcoming CBS TV movie Day One. He stars as Leo Szilard, a Hungarian-Jewish physicist who helped develop the atomic bomb and early on saw the implications of its use.
Of course they can give a warning if they want. Of course they can have a demonstration. But they can drop it in the woods near a city. They can warn the Japanese to clear out the city and then drop it. What, they can blow up Mount Fuji if they want. Yeah, but that is not what they want. They want to drop the bomb. We are the men who conceived this bomb. And before God and the world, we have the duty to see that it is used wisely. We will be held responsible.
Tucker says he wanted to play Leo Szilard more than any other role in his career. That's why he really went after the part.
I found that they weren't going to offer me the role after I had read it, and I was furious about it. I said, I have to play this part. And they said that they wanted a European to play it because of the accent. He's Hungarian. I said, well, you call him and tell him I can do that accent. And I went in and I auditioned for them. And fortunately got the part.
How did you know a Hungarian accent?
I played a character in a play called The Kitchen by Arnold Wesker. I played a Hungarian character. This I'm going back about 20 years, when I was at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. And when I went in to read for Day One, I actually did a speech from the kitchen. I said, I'm not really up on this script yet, but let me show you the accent. I did the speech from that, and it worked.
It's funny, for years you were an actor who wasn't a household name, but in the past couple of years, everybody's gotten to know your name, and now you have to start worrying about people confusing you with the character that you play on L.A. Law.
Yeah, I think doing Day One will help that, and doing other work. This character is as very far from Stuart Markowitz, really different. You know, I've always been a character actor. I play different kinds of things.
You know, there was a New York Times headline back in 1987 in an article about you, and the headline was "Once a Nebbish, Now a Sex Symbol."
You want me to comment on that?
Well, I
was never a nebbish.
Yeah, well, honestly. Yeah. But I was wondering how you reacted to this kind of surprise that you could play somebody really sexual. Do you know what I mean? Who'd be sexually attractive.
It has something to do with stereotypes and the media. You know, I don't know why it's a surprise that somebody who looks like me can be a sex symbol. Shouldn't be a big problem. I understand why. I understand the way the stereotypes work. But it doesn't work that way in life. So I think the relationship between Jill and I on this show is more realistic than most relationships on television or in film.
And people always assume that TV actors who are on TV every week, are just like the roles that they play. Hmm. And I wonder if that's even more true, if the assumption is made more often in a situation like yours when you play a married man, and in real life, you're actually married to the person who you play opposite.
Yeah, and in many ways, it's true. We don't have, I don't know, there are things about our relationship in real life that certainly spill out onto the screen, but we don't have as good writers in our life as we do in LA Law. I wish we did, but so our arguments are not nearly as witty.
Do you want to have a baby or not?
I don't know.
What? You were the one who was talking about exploring all the options. Now all of a sudden you don't know?
I'm 38 years old. I love my work. I'm not sure I'm ready to put it on the back burner indefinitely.
Why would you have to put it on the back burner?
Oh, please. You're not the one that's going to stay home when the kid has an ear infection. At least be honest about that.
How can you take something so simple, the most natural thing in the world, and roll it up into this complicated mess?
Terms.
I want
to
have a baby, Anne. What about you?
I'll be damned if I'm going to let you railroad me into caving in on something so important,
Fine.
Stuart. It takes two. You keep forgetting that, Stuart. You could have world-class Olympic sperm. It still takes two.
Well, that's great, Anne. Why don't you say it a little louder? Some of the partners still have their doors closed.
L.A. Law made you and Jill Eikenberry famous at the same time. I think when there's a two-actor couple, that there's a lot of ups and downs in the relationships. Both partners aren't always working at the same time.
We went through that.
Is there a problem of jealousy in relationships like that?
Yeah.
Where you envy the person who's working and feel depressed when you're not?
Absolutely. We've done that a lot. In the beginning, when we first came to New York, Jill's career sort of shot off and mine stood still for a year or two. It was a very, very difficult time for our relationship. Then there was a switch in things where my career sort of spurted forward and Jill's went on the wane a little bit. And that flip-flop happened about six times over a period of almost 20 years that we've been together. And the flip-flop back and forth helped us realize that that doesn't really mean anything. And that my career is my career, and it doesn't matter what's happening to hers. It's a hard lesson to learn, and we went through a lot of trouble over that. We're incredibly lucky that we became household words at the same time.
Can you tell the story of how you were cast in L.A. Law?
Yes, I will. Listen, my children, and you shall hear. Stephen Bochco, who's the creator of L.A. Law as well as Hill Street Blues, is an old friend of mine. We went to college together, and we've remained friends over the years. And he's tried to seduce us out to California before. But he called us, and he said, look, I'm writing this new show about lawyers, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to pattern these two characters after you and Jill. Now, you don't have to play them, but is it okay with you if I think of you when I'm writing them? We said, sure. Well, 6 months later, the script came, and it was wonderful. And there was no turning it down. So we sort of uprooted ourselves and went out and did the show.
When he said pattern the characters after you, did he mean pattern them after your personalities or just think of you as being the actress for the role?
I think the latter, because they weren't really patterned after our personalities. Jill is not nearly as aggressive and strident as Ann Kelsey. I'm not nearly as shy as Stuart Markowitz. There are big differences. But Bochco's a real smart guy. He knew, say in Jill's case, he knew that if a very aggressive, direct and strident person were playing Ann Kelsey, then you'd lose all the other aspects of that character. It would become two-dimensional. So casting Jill, who's a much softer person, more rounded person, gave much more dimension to Kelsey.
A few months ago, in our offices, we were rescreening The Eyes of Laura Mars.
I have a great story about that.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. This was in a very lean period for me. And Jill was doing quite well. She had a couple of films in a row and was becoming very well known in the business. We walked into a restaurant, Patsy's up in the theater district. Great old Italian restaurant. And there is a famous casting person, Sis Corman, as a matter of fact. And she makes a big fuss over Jill. And I'm standing there. And she looks at me and she says, oh, you're an actor too, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I'm an actor too. And she said, call me in the morning. I might have something for you. And I said, well, great. And I called her and I went in. And she said, well, the director's in a meeting and we'll wait for him. And we waited for a couple of hours. And finally she said, oh, never mind. I'm just giving you the part. It's one day. You're working one day on this picture. And there wasn't even a name for my character. I was playing Faye Dunaway's art director. So I go to a party the night before the shooting, a big party for the movie, and my friend Rene Aubergin was there, and he has a big part in the movie. And we talk, and we're happy that we're working together. And the next day, Rene and I and Faye Dunaway sort of improvise a lot, and Rene gives me a name. He calls me Bert, and Bert is doing this, and we're running around, and suddenly I'm improvising a lot of lines. And at the end of the day, which should be the end of the movie for me, Rene goes over to the director, Erwin Kirshner, and he says, I don't see how you can possibly not have Bert in the birthday party scene. And Kirshner says, who the hell is Bert? You know, nobody knew. The character didn't have a name. But Rene convinced him that I had to be in this scene and then I had to be in this scene, and I got 8 weeks of work out of it, which was really amazing at that time. I owed it all to Rene.
I just want to tell you that when we saw you in the movie, it was like, slap your face. That's Michael Tucker, because it didn't look like you. I'm trying to remember.
Real
that you had a beard
hair.
And really long
yeah,
hair.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel that way seeing yourself? Like,
yeah,
oh my gosh, that's me. I don't recognize
very
me.
Bizarre. Very bizarre to see me, especially in those days, those old hippie days. Yeah, I was a hairy son of a gun.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay.